Okay, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Wednesday night Israelite chat here on By Yahweh's Design. It is the 26th of April, year 2023. No particular topic, sort of an open forum. So much stuff is going on. It's just unbelievable, unbelievable. Some of my family and myself recently have noticed, as I told a young lady working at the grocery store today when I went through, I said, we are a nation of mediocrity today, no longer meritocracy where talent matters, but it just matters if you know the right person, you got the right skin color, you got the right genitals, then all of a sudden you get the job. Talent is missing. Integrity's missing. Honesty's missing. By the way, Ella says that she still can't hear anything. Let me see. Lane, if you could, can you either text or use your mic and let me know if the sound quality's okay? Or Ralph, can you hear the voice part? Because I don't want to go forward if... Okay, Ella, can you hear me? Okay, Ralph can hear. I'm not sure why you can't hear. You're unmuted, Ella, if you want to say something. Okay. Oh, Lane says all good on his end. Okay, so Lane can hear. Everybody can hear but Ella. All right. Let me... just let me send a quick note to Ella and let her know. And let's see, we got Melissa here too. So welcome, Melissa. Let me... so far, I haven't really unmuted anybody yet. We're still trying to get everything figured out here. Ella's having a hard time hearing, so she's probably going to come back in. Okay, yeah, she's going to log in again. So anyway, society continues to show signs of degradation. I was just talking to a Navy a buddy of mine that was just recently retired from the Navy. His brother just retired less than a year or so ago as a captain in the Navy, which is pretty high rank. And his brother is anti-gun, woke, believes that, you know, he falls for all the bullshit stories. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Even though his son was in the academy at Texas A&M Academy as a senior, and a panel of judges ruled against him in a raising thing. And the panel of judges was all women. All but one of the women were black. And so they picked on his son and basically said that it was their emotional feeling that he was going to do something wrong. In other words, no evidence of wrongdoing, but they were going to ruin his career in the military, in college, and for the rest of his life have it on his record, all based on their emotion. And, okay, Ella, very good. Yeah, sounds good. All right, so it was just a bad connection. So this is the kind of stuff our people are putting up with. I mean, it's unbelievable to me how many examples of what our people are putting up with today. It's just, I'm amazed that this thing hasn't gone hot already. It really is. I mean, it just shows you one of two things. Our people are extremely patient and slow to anger, as Rudyard Kipling says in his poem, or we've become completely gutless and cowards. That's the only two things that it can be, one of those two. But it is amazing the prejudice against white people, the destruction of our society and our norms. Just, I mean, I shake my head every day. It's like, is this the country I was born in? I mean, I have gotten older, but I'm not that old yet. I'm not ready to be put in a box yet. How could it change just in my lifetime from the way it was in the 50s and 60s as a boy to what we see today? Unbelievable. And the solution is so easy to see. It's easy. Obey our Father. That's it. That's all the more complicated it has to be. Obey His commandments. Just as it says in Scripture, if you love me, obey my commandments. All right? Ella says, some people in my neighborhood act like they don't have a clue there's anything wrong. Yeah, there are people that are completely clueless out here. They're the zombies. They're the walking dead. All right? They're everywhere. But I don't really count them because they're not going to be here much longer. Okay? Most of them have taken the jabs. And so their hearts are going to give out. They're going to have all kind of mental and emotional problems and physical problems. So they're just the walking dead. It's just a question of time. They're not going to be around. So my concern personally is everybody else, particularly our people, our kinfolk, and especially our kinfolk who know Yahweh our Father. What happens to us? Okay, we need to join ranks. And that's actually starting to happen. I was just talking to my good friend from the Navy about that issue, and he's noticed it as well, that in some areas people are starting to reach out and do what we used to do as a racial family. People are inviting people that have been destitute or homeless. And so now our people are starting to reach out to those who deserve help, not just any old buddy, but good, upright people that just have come on hard times. And people are starting to want to form communities. People are wanting to homestead together. People are opening up their homes to those that are without. The way we used to be when we were more like a family. A racial family that looked out for each other and took care of each other. So it is starting to happen. Now, it's not happening enough, in my opinion, but it is happening. And the mindset of our people is starting to show that they're open to these sorts of things. So, praise Yahweh for that. It's about time. Ralph says here, Europa, the last battle, now happening very long. Let's see. I got the DVD, by the way. You can find it on eBay. And I had a good friend of mine who's one of my email contacts offered to send me a version of it. So I ended up getting two copies. So to me, that's one of the better ways of doing it. Instead of sitting in front of a damn computer for 12 hours, you get the DVD. That does two things. It allows you to go in the comfort of your living room and watch it in 1 hour chunks. And it also helps in the sense that if they do something to censor the internet or make it impossible to get the links and BitChute and some of these other channels that have Europa on it, you have it on DVD, so you will have it there locally. And plus, if it's on DVD like that, you can take it with you and rent out a room at the American Legion or the VFW or the clubhouse at some community and invite people to come and watch it. There's a lot to learn in that series, Europa, the Last Battle, because we're in it. And Europa means white face. That's where the name Europe came from. It was the first province of the Roman Empire, the Western Roman Empire. As you came in from Anatolia, which is today's Turkey, as you came into the area of the Roman Empire, the very first province as you crossed the isthmus there, it was known, the province was called Europa, and it meant whiteface. You're entering the land of not Middle Easterners, but of Caucasians, of Israelites. And so that's another little piece of history that we don't seem to get taught in school or even in churches or anywhere else. But it shows the history of our people. And there was an excellent article I just sent out yesterday to everybody talking about this diversity bullshit that has been crammed down our throats is killing us. And I remember back in the 1970s and 80s telling my work buddies that political correctness and affirmative action will kill us. And I don't call myself a prophet, but that day I was prophesizing. I told him, I said, it's obvious. This stuff will end up killing us. And it has. Okay, affirmative action and political correctness are all Jewish mechanisms to put the white man down and elevate everybody else. And if you can't see that, then you're blind as a bat. Nella says here, I have two granddaughters in their 20s and neither feel there is anything wrong with whites dating blacks. Yeah, and she says, I can't be around them. I couldn't be around them either. I've reached that point where I'm so angry with friends and family that buy into this modern Jewish bullshit that I don't want anything to do with them. I don't visit them. I don't want to talk to them. I don't care if I'm related to them or they're old neighbors or used to be good buddies. Or no, I don't want them. I don't want a TV on around me. I don't want them around me. I don't want to discuss anything with them. If you are that, if I must say the word, fucking stupid, all right, excuse my French, but it's just that bad. If you're that retarded, then I don't want anything to do with you because you're not going to help the cause. You're not going to help solve the problem. You're just retarded, brain dead, mentally ill, and retarded, period. And if that means relatives, grandchildren, children, cousins, sorry. I keep thinking of what Yahshua said. If you love anything on this earth more than me, then you don't deserve me. Now, is everybody hearing this? Because this is being recorded, so many other people will listen besides the live audience. Think about what he said. If you love anything on this earth more than me, and I'm going to tell you, I have a long list of people that love their children, love their animals, love their gardens, love their paychecks, love their pensions, love their cars, love their mansion homes. They love all kinds of things more than they do Messiah. But the one that gets people the most is the children. That's a hard one for our people to grab because people think it's our job to just idolize our children. Sorry. No, not true. Your job's to raise them. Your job is to train them to become adults. It's not to coddle them, baby them, cover up their mistakes, bail them out every time they get in trouble so that they don't get hurt. Or to just say, oh, I love them to death, no matter what they do, including race mix and everything else. Or as I told a 50-some-year-old guy in Illinois one time, his his daughter married a black guy, and he had a mixed race grandchild that was giving him fits. I said, well, why didn't you tell your daughter that you would disown her? That's what I told my children. If you get somebody other than white to marry or have children with, I said, you're dead to me. Oh, I can't do that, Dan. She's my daughter. I have to love her. I said, no, you don't. What do you mean you have to love them? They disobey you, and worse yet, they disobey our Heavenly Father, and it's okay with you? And again, the words of Christ come back. If you love anything on this earth more than me, you don't deserve me. Ouch. Ouch. Our people have a real hard time with that one, especially the ladies. Most of our men, I'm talking about the real men, the ones that still have stones in their sack, they're not as troubled by that. It's like most of us men can see the logic behind what Yahshua was saying. And we study history enough to know that our ancestors weren't that soft. In fact, my elders in the 50s, when I was very young, the elders had no problem putting you in your place, up to and including kicking you out of the house. In fact, my very own father told me that when I was 8 or 9 years old. If I catch you drinking or smoking outside of this house, after I kick the shit out of you, you will be no longer a member of this household. You'll be on the street. And he meant it. I know he meant it. His words rang in my ears every time the boys at school, hey, Dan, we're going to go after school and meet in this alleyway, and we're going to drink beer and smoke cigarettes and do the... No, thank you. Well, why not? Are you a coward? No, I just don't want to live out on the street in a cardboard box. Well, what are you talking about, Dan? My father said that if I do that and I get caught, he catches me, he's going to kick the shit out of me, and he's bigger than I am. So, first of all, I don't want to get my jaw broke. And second of all, I don't want to live in an alleyway in a cardboard box because I don't have any money. I don't have any way of making a living. I'm only 8, 9, 10 years old. So, no, you're drinking beer and smoking cigarettes has no temptation to me whatsoever. Besides that, my father told me I can have a beer with him anytime I want. I can have a shot of gin, shot of whiskey, anytime I want. If I want to smoke a cigarette, he'll light one up for me. Guess what? I never once asked him for any of those things. Except when I got to be a junior, senior in high school, there were a couple times I did ask if I could have a beer with him on a hot day after mowing grass or fixing the roof on the house or whatever. But other than that, no desire to do it at all, because he took the temptation away by simply saying, if you really want to do it, but you're going to do it here with me where I can keep an eye on you and make sure you're safe, etc. Do you see the difference? Do you see the psychology he used? And it worked. Let's see. We got some notes here. Let's see. I agree with Ella. No identity parents should allow their children to go to public school. For God's sakes, if your kids are in public school, get them the hell out of there. Stay home and raise your children properly. Amen. Amen. Megyn Kelly was born a man. Wow. Kira Sedgwick is a guy. I don't even know who that is. I don't care. Ralph says, I like my cats more than most people these days. They would get fed before a lot of other people would. Well, as far as that goes, I can understand that, but it's the worshiping of our pets that I don't understand. Not the camaraderie or fellowship. It's when you start treating an animal like it's a person, that's when I have a problem. And trust me, I grew up with dogs on the farm. We had cats. We had other animals on the farm. I respect and enjoy animals very much. Respect them. They're part of my father's creation. And so, therefore, tremendous respect. And even, especially with dogs. Dogs are man's best friend for a reason. There's something very special about dogs. Cats, they can be somewhat friendly, but they're not in the same league as a dog. At least I've never seen a cat that was even close to a dog as far as affection and all of that. They do service on the farm. We used them as mousers. They kept the mice away, and if the mice were kept away, they kept the snakes away. But so did the dogs. The dogs, in fact, I watched my cousin's German Shepherd tear a snake apart one night. That was near the campfire. We were all out by a campfire, and his name was Rinny Tin Tin. German Shepherd went after a snake, and next thing we know, pieces of that snake were flying all over the place. He just tore it apart. So he protected us, see? He protected us. Ella, you're throwing some French at me here. La plus que je connais les hommes, la plus que j'aime les chiens. Oh, the more I know of man or mankind or whatever, the more I like my dogs. Les chiens, the dogs. Right. Yeah. Oh, you put the translation behind it. Okay. Right after it. All right. Very good. C'est très bien. C'est très bien. Let's see. Cats keep vermin away. Yep. Amen to that. And Kira Sedgwick played on the closer. Okay, again, I don't watch television, so I don't know anything about that. Let me go ahead and open up the lines in case anybody else wants to jump in with anything. So if I open it up and you don't want to say anything, just mute yourself. I just want to leave it open for you in case you do want to jump in here. So if you're not, in order to keep the background noise level down, just mute yourself. Ralph, I'm going to leave you muted because you don't ever want to say anything. If you do want to say something, Ralph, just put something in the text. I'll be glad to change it. So, again, it's open forum, so if I don't see you raise your hand or put yourself in the queue, just jump in there and try to... I'm getting feedback, so somebody needs to mute yourself. That could be you, John. I'm getting a very high signal from you. yeah. So when it comes across your speakers, it feeds back in through the microphone. That's why everybody gets an echo. So that's why I say if you're not actually speaking, just mute your phone so that doesn't happen. Or put a headset on. That's what I use. That makes it much easier, and then you don't have to worry about it. Plus, with the microphone that much closer to you, it generally makes it easier to understand you and put out a good signal for everybody to hear. Did you have something you wanted to say, John?
Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good evening. I just turned the computer on. So he said to turn the mic down or something. No. I just got in here about 10 minutes ago from I was out in town.
Oh, okay. Well, just go ahead and mute your mic then if you don't want to say anything right now.
Well, where does it say mute?
If you're on a computer, if you go to the bottom left of the screen, you'll see a microphone. It'll be colored blue, and if you click on it, it'll go mute. Do you see that? If you have the free conference call app running, you should see on the bottom left where you can turn on your camera called video, or you can turn off or mute your microphone. Do you see it? Or I can do it for you. And then if you want to say something, just put it in the chat and I'll unmute you. How's that sound? There we go. That's the other way we can handle it. John, you're showing up here twice. How the hell did that happen? Okay. Okay, everybody else is setting pretty good. But yeah, on the screen, bottom left is where you'll see video and microphone toggles. And then over on the right side under reactions, you'll see a thumbs up and reactions. You can click on that. That's where you get the raise hand or put an emoji out there for everybody with computers anyway. I'm not sure if people with phones can see it or not, but definitely everybody with a computer can see it. So again, as I'm talking about the different things I'm observing going on right now, if somebody has something important, just jump in there when you can see a gap and just fill us in with whatever's on your mind, or if you have a question or a report or whatever. Because this is a fellowship period of time. It's not really a teaching hour and a half, whatever it ends up being. To me, when Israelites fellowship, like we're doing here tonight, when the family comes together, to me, that is a teaching. It's just a different kind of teaching. It's not the structured, formal kind of teaching like we do on other broadcasts. But to me, when I fellowship with other Israelites, I generally come away with some kind of knowledge on almost every occasion that I did not have before the fellowship. So to me, all of our gatherings of like-minded people end up being educational, whether we're talking about health issues, the scriptures, society, and things like that. I did notice, I went to a organic market today. I did notice that a lot of the stores are running short on many things, but the organic stores seem to have plenty. And the price is pretty much the same price it was a year ago or 2 years ago. So a lot of this stuff that's going on is not affecting the organic stores as much. All right. So maybe that's a reward for those of us that have cared enough to spend the time and money to get the better foods. Those seem to be still working just fine. Now, that being said, the cost of everything has gone up. There's no doubt about that. But I'm just saying, proportionally, the organics that I typically buy have not gone up as much as when you go to the local Targets or Walmart superstores or the Publix or Winn-Dixie or any of those kind of stores. Their products have gone up exponentially, whereas our stuff has only gone up maybe 10-15%. And the availability has stayed strong. When some of the shelves, according to my friends, they go down to some of these grocery stores and all, and they're completely out. One of my friends went somewhere for, what was it, bananas or something like that, and we don't have any bananas. When's the last time you ran any kind of a major store and they didn't have any bananas at all? But again, at the organic store, they had plenty of bananas, eggs, and again, the prices were pretty much the same prices they've been for a couple of years now. So, just thoughts that might be Yahweh saying a blessing to his children that are trying to do things right. I believe in the very near future, the acquisition of land is going to be presented to us. I'm not sure how that's going to work. It's just a feeling at this point. The desire of our people to be in community with one another has never been higher. I'm getting notifications from people all the time. And so my heart says that Father is going to open up a door for us. Those that truly want this, a door will open in the very near future. Personally, I think, like I said, the zombies are going to start dropping off here. I know they're sending a lot of people to invade here, but remember what Scripture says, when the devil, the adversary, sends his flood after the children, that always represents people. So all of these illegal aliens and all that are flooding our white nations, it says the ground will open up and swallow them. To me, that is indicative of death. Graveyards, mass graves, okay? Because they're going to start falling over dead. Some people are going to do that because of the vaccination. Some people are going to do it because of violence. Some people are going to, they're going to die from disease, okay? There are some prophets and some scripture that allude to the fact that their being in this land is going to upset their immune system and or some other aspect of it, and they're going to end up dying of diseases and being bit by certain animals that they're just not accustomed to. It sounds crazy, but those things can happen. I read a story a long time ago about up in Canada. There was a bunch of people went up into Canada, and they didn't take into account the black flies. The black flies in Canada are atrocious. And there were people literally died from bites. Okay? So, again, you know, it looks perilous, but it's supposed to. It is a threat. Yeah, definitely is. But at the same time, these are punishments upon the people. These are ways to separate the wheat from the chaff. Exactly as he said he would do. At the end of the age, I will separate the wheat from the chaff. That's happening. And I believe that's why so many of us no longer want to tolerate friends, relatives, whoever, that are woke, that are buying into the bullshit. They're buying into the race mixing. They're buying into the vaccinations. They're buying into whatever the television tells them. That's their new god. They worship the screens. Whatever the screens are telling them, the black screens, whatever that monster tells them, they believe it. And those people like us don't want to be around people like that. So the separation is happening. COVID was a complete scam. Obviously, it was a scam, and it's hurt many people. However, people of faith didn't get hurt because they wouldn't put the stuff in their body. I lost cousins, I lost relatives, friends, neighbors. In fact, the older gentleman right catty corner to my home right now died here about a month ago. And his brother is a pharmacist. I'll guarantee you he got a vaccination. And he had just bought the house and just retired. Now he's gone. He can't enjoy his home that he had all fixed up and time with his family and in his golden years, but he's gone. My brother's best friend that just came to Florida, less than a year here, just got married a couple years before that, coming with his new bride, coming to Florida to enjoy his retirement, and heart attack on a fishing boat. But he got a jab. He got his jab because of his wife fighting cancer, because in his mind, the jab was going to protect her and him. Unfortunately, he put his faith in the wrong god, the medical god. And a lot of people treat the medical profession like God. That's their god. They treat it just like God Almighty telling them something. If somebody in a lab coat tells them, oh my God, it's got to be true. Really? I learned not to trust doctors 40 years ago. Actually, longer than that, 50 years ago, half a century. I knew not to trust them. I don't know. I don't know what it takes to wake our people up. I'm not sure what it takes to motivate them. And I don't know what it takes to get them to understand. You got to stop being materialistic and worshiping false idols, which is what our people are guilty of. You got to stop that. You got to use the brain that our Heavenly Father gave you. You got to check into things, investigate. You can't just take a news report or some complete whack job like Anthony Fauci or Deborah Birx or any of the others like that and just take them at face value because some damn Jew gets up there and says, well, I've got credentials. Really? Prove it. How do I know you actually have credentials? Most of you that I've ever dealt with lie, cheat, and steal your way through college. You buy answers, buy test questions. I was there. I saw it happen. One of my high school friends married a guy that went through engineering school, and he bragged about the fact that all the way through school, he bought the answers to the tests. So what kind of engineer do you think he made? How many doctors bought their way through school? How many lawyers bought their way? How many pharmacists? How many other professionals bought their way through college? So does their diploma mean anything? Do the, quote, credentials mean anything? Anthony Fauci claims all kinds of credentials. Does that mean he's trustworthy? Most of the people in Washington claim to have some sort of a credential here and there. Are they trustworthy? I say no. They're the last people on earth I would trust. I get a lot more truth and information from people that have zero credentials. Self-taught. Practically everything I learned when I got out of school. Self-taught. Ralph says here, Dan, you have been talking about moving to the country for years. Just do it like I did years ago. Well, up until recently, I was able to do things like that. But here lately, it's not quite as easy as it used to be. You got to have some place to go, and you have to be able to afford to do that. And since I'm retired and not working, I don't have boatloads of money to go just pick out what I want and go there. I can't. I got to find something that, quote, is affordable. So I am taking steps in that direction. Some major things have broke within the last week that should make that much more possible. And but I'm in the Father's hands. That's why I don't worry about it. He puts me where he wants me. Wherever I go with his protections. And lately, he's been nudging me to take a little bit more action to get out of here. So I think it is time now. Up till now, there was a reason I was here. I know that for a fact. I was here for a reason. And I believe that reason's almost over. So I believe a door's going to open, not just for me, but for many of our people. Again, I'm hoping that we can all come together in community. Not just the digital community like here on the internet and all that, but an actual community. You know, come to a common location where we can see each other, hug each other, work with each other, talk with each other, help heal wounds, help fix cars, help fix mechanical issues in the house, appliances, whatever. Yahweh has blessed me with a working knowledge in all of those areas. Since high school, I've worked on my own cars, trucks, motorcycles, golf carts, tractors. I worked for a time as a carpenter's assistant. I've helped build houses. I've done painting, drywalling, roofing. I worked on a farm, so I know how to drive tractors, bale hay, rake hay, plow, plant, mow hay. All of that. How to feed the animals. I never did too much of the milking. Milking was done by machine. My grandfather's dairy farm. So the hand milking in the old-fashioned way, you better have some strong hands. That's all I know. Because if you're not built up with the strength in your hands, you're going to get tired very, very quick trying to milk a cow the way they did back in the old days. Now, goats and sheep, that might not be quite so difficult, but try milking a cow sometime by hand, the way it was done 100 years ago, 200 years ago. It's not as easy as it looks on TV, I'm going to tell you that. One or two squirts might be, but try milking 50 or 60 cows like my grandfather did in a single, and they milked them twice a day. So that way we can help each other out. Let's see. Yeah, the higher they go up in education, they become educated idiots, as far as I'm concerned. They know less. The more institutionalized education they get, the dumber they are. That's my opinion. I'm entitled to my opinion. So, again, it's open forum. If somebody has something, please, just jump in, comment, question. Oh, Charles, I didn't see you come in here. Okay, now you're open. It's not just a place.
I have two things.
Yeah, go ahead. Melissa, go ahead.
I have two things I want to say. First of all, we don't ever have cats for pets. They own us. We're their slaves. So I just wanted to put that out. But another thing, it's the truth. Another thing about the race mixing and teaching your children these things is I have always taught my children to stay with their own, and I can proudly say that all my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren are white. And before my mom passed, we would have cookouts and stuff at my parents' house. And my youngest sister, the baby, she is an abomination, so I don't have anything to do with her. And my dad tried to talk to me about it and about being friendly. And I told him that I could not do that because I always would have my grandchildren with me when I went over there. And how would that look if I'm buddying up to a homosexual when I'm telling my grandchildren that homosexuality is wrong? Because what I say out in the open is my beliefs, and they are what I live at home also. And here's another. Hasbro and Mattel are both Jewish-owned companies, and people need to watch the toys, and especially little girls, you know, giving them black baby dolls and Barbie dolls. You really have to be mindful of the toys you are letting your children play with. And really, that's all I had to say.
No, good points. I particularly like the one about the cats. You're right. Cats control us. It's not the other way around. That's why we call it catitude. They have catitude. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You know, I've had that issue with some very close relatives of mine, the same thing. We're going to a wedding three states away. I said, oh, really? Okay, who's getting married? Well, my best friend from college, his daughter's getting married. And I said, well, okay, cool. Sounds good. He goes, yeah, she's going to marry another woman. What? Marry another woman? Well, yeah, she's the wife, and the other woman's going to be the husband, I guess. And I said, well, why are you going to this abomination? Well, my best friend invited. What? You don't see the hypocrisy of that? You don't see that? You know, that's tacit approval when you do that. And yet people... What happened to our people that were afraid to get people upset? You know, I'm a non-confrontational kind of guy ever since I was a child. I don't like confrontation, and I don't like drama. However, sometimes it's called for. What happened to our people that were so afraid of upsetting somebody that we won't tell them when they're out of line? What happened? I know when I was a boy, like I said, the elders had no problem taking us youngsters and either paddling our asses or setting us in a room. What do they call it now? Timeout. They didn't have a name for it back then. It was just go sit your ass in that chair and don't you get out of it until I tell you. So no name was given to it. It was just, I told you to do it, you better do it. And you sat there and you didn't say diddly squat until they got to the point where they're going to let you out of that chair. So from the 50s and the 60s, when our people, like I said, at least where I grew up, we had no problem straightening out young people and neighbors. I told the story about my father when he was a teenager. So this would have been around the mid-1930s to 1940, in that time frame. And my grandfather was a U.S. Marine, and he was home on leave. And some boys had taken my dad's pants. He was a caddy at the local golf club, country club. And these teenage boys had grabbed him and took his pants and ran him up a flagpole. So he had to walk all the way home in the town of Hollidaysburg, Pennsylvania. He had to walk all the way home in his underwear. Well, back in the 1940s, that was pretty embarrassing. So he gets up to the porch and enters into the house, and my grandfather's in there, and he said, "Boy, where's your pants?" "Well, they're up a flagpole." "Okay, what the hell are they doing up a flagpole?" And so he told him what happened. So my father says, "All right, let's go." So he puts pants on. They go dragging themselves down to the local country club. And my grandfather says, "Those pants belong to my boy." And so they get the pants down off there. And he said, "All right, now which boy did it?" And I don't remember if he did anything to the boy at the country club. I don't think he did. But he said, "All right, come on." And my grandfather took my dad with him, and they went to that man's house where this boy lived. And my grandfather knocked on the door, and the inside door opened up, and the screen door was still closed. And my dad tells the story that when the door swung open, my grandfather ran his fist right through the screen and punched the guy right in the face, knocked him clear back into the house. And then he took my dad by the shoulder and said, "Let's go." So never said a word, just punched the guy right in the face and knocked him into his house. So the story, I said, of course, well, did the guy claim, abuse and assault and all this stuff that would happen today? And my dad says, "No, of course not." I said, "Well, then what happened?" He said, "Well, the guy figured that if my dad was so pissed off that he would come to my door and punch me out on the porch, that his son had done something wrong. And so when the son came home, he got in, he lit up his son, this guy that my grandfather punched." So that's the way men handled things back then. So we're talking 90 years ago, 80 and 90 years ago, men handled things that way. Even when I was a boy, boys would get into fist fights. Some of my best friends, we started out as two guys wrestling on the ground and punching each other, and we ended up being best friends. That's the way boys settle things. It's not negotiations all the time. It can get somewhat violent, but nobody was ever permanently hurt. Nobody's eyes were put out. Nobody's bones were broken. But you would get into fights. But again, some of my best and closest friends were guys that I'd had words with or got into fights with. Once we settled it all out, we understood each other, and we knew where we stood, and we also knew that if you cross me, you're going to get your lights knocked out. And we respected that. Today, everybody's a wimp, afraid to say anything, and so you don't know what you're dealing with. Because everybody's hiding everything. Because it might get a name in the paper, or some Jew lawyer will talk somebody into suing. And, you know, I'm getting more people to see the light about the root of the tree of evil in this country. Because I've been talking about this a long time now. Nothing in this world is going to get fixed until we take care of the root of this tree. All right? Voltaire said it, or was it Thoreau? No, it was Thoreau. Henry David Thoreau said, for every person, or for the 1,000 swinging at the branches of the tree of evil, there's only one striking at the root. Okay, that's the problem we face today. There's a root to all of these multitude branches of things that are wrong, from education to medicine to the media to the movies to the government to the jobs, the corporations, the insanity of this world. All of these multitude of branches, and we're all fighting them, whether it's the common law, whether it's the state national, it's all because the root controls everything. And the problem I see is, why aren't we talking about getting rid of the root of our problems? Then we don't need to do any of these other things. Because it's the root that's behind it all. All right? I'm not meaning to... you don't have a right to say something there, Charles, but I can hear you typing, so I went ahead and muted your mic. So again, I want more and more people to understand that. All the energy, time, and resources that we as a people are using to fight this hydra of multitude of issues, whether it's traffic court or it's local police that are out of control, sheriffs that are out of control, military's out of control. All right. Oh, thanks, Charles. I see you said that, Eric. Got to strike at the root. All right. That is the key. We don't have time. We don't have the resources because they control the banks. That's another major problem in this world. Okay. They control the banks so they can generate all the capital they need, all the currency they need to buy off politicians, buy off police, buy off courts, buy off military, buy the media, because they can generate as much as they need. Now they're buying up, like down here, they're buying up all the farmland, and they're buying up processing plants and all, so that the Jew controls every facet of our society with their fake money system. So we don't have time. We don't have it. They have planned this thing out for a very long time. We don't have what it takes. We don't have the numbers. We don't have the money. We don't have the resources. And even then, if you did have a whole lot of success, they will just send their goons who will do anything for money after you. When, in my opinion, we should be looking at the root of this tree of evil, just like Thoreau said. And by the way, Scripture talks about that as well. Okay? That's why Obadiah says that verse 18, that eventually Edom, Esau will be pulled out root and branch. What do you think it's talking about? Root and branch. That means eliminated. When you've got an invasive tree or plant in your garden, you don't just go out and pull the leaves off of it. You pull out the root. Because if you don't, it just keeps coming back. That's the way of the Jew. They keep coming back because either through ignorance, cowardice, or whatever, we don't seem to want to handle digging out the root of our society's problems. And that root always has a Jewish face, a Jewish name, or Jewish money behind it. every single time. My grandfather taught me that when I was just a boy in school. Danny, if you want to figure out what's going on in the world, especially in politics, but generally anything going on in the world, follow the money. I still remember the day he told me that. Follow the money. And boy, was he right. Grandpap Johns was not a much of a church-going man. And neither was my father, really. He'd go once in a while. But they knew more about the principles in the scriptures than the preachers in most of the churches I've went to. Well, they couldn't quote you chapter and verse. They didn't take the time to remember that stuff. What they did was understood the principles that our Father presented in the scriptures. And those principles they taught as we were growing up as children with little one-liners. Do unto others as others would, or as you would have, do unto others as you would have others do unto you. The golden rule, okay? They couldn't tell you what chapter and verse that came from, but they knew the rule. And they taught it to us all the time. Do no harm. Respect others. Walk a mile in somebody else's shoe. If you don't have anything good to say, then don't say anything at all. Words are like arrows. Those were talked about on the farm all the time. And again, it wasn't always chapter verse, but the principles were taught. And I've told people for many, many years, don't waste your time trying to remember chapter and verse all the time. Because for one thing, we've got a whole bunch of different translations, and we even have a few translations that don't use the same chapter, verse, numbering system that the King James uses. He said, what's more important is that we do what Yahshua told us to do. Read it like a book. That's why they didn't have chapter and verse when it was written in the original Aramaic. It was on one scroll, which is what they used at that time, from beginning to end. One story. One report. To be read from start to finish, like a story or a novel. And you are to learn a lesson through the reading of that story. There's the principle being taught in all scripture. And you implement it in your life and you teach it to your children in the way that you go, which is, again, it was a blessing to me to be raised by the people that raised me on a farm out in the country where these things that Yahshua talked about happened. I lived it. I saw it. And I saw it work. Whether you want to talk about organic foods and the things that it can help heal, or the healing touch of loved ones or family when you're down or you're going through rough times, that magical connection, that energy that you get when a kindred spirit puts their arm around you or hugs you. Even the men where I grew up, the men hugged each other. Not in a sensual sense, but in a manly sense of caring for one another. I'm going to tell you, that was such a beautiful thing. Whether they were relatives or a farmer down the street and all, a very firm handshake or a handshake with an arm that went around and patted you on the back. There's a chemistry to that. And our people are missing it today because we're all scattered all over the place. And sometimes it's, well, you know, I don't like to be touched. Or maybe that's a little too familiar. What? Too familiar? We're family. There's no such thing. Now, if you're a lech or a pedophile or you're going to try to get frisky with the your buddy's wife or something, oh, that's different. That's a whole different ball game there. But we're talking about just the family hugging to show care and concern and brotherly love for one another. There's power in that. That's why the enemy doesn't want us to do that. They want us to be at odds with each other and angry with each other and picking fights with each other, even though Scripture tells us to turn our cheek when somebody offends us. And that meant people within our ranks. It's not talking about the zombies. It's talking about our people. When they offend you, like striking you across the cheek, turn the other cheek. Forgive 70 times 7. Because why? Because Father wants us to stay family. I don't know any family that doesn't have fights from time to time. Miscommunications, wrong things said, butting of heads, doctrinal differences. We have it all amongst our family. And yet we got to win this war. And we have to come through all this as family. Fighting for each other, with each other, and protecting each other. If we can't learn to do that, then the enemy wins. And it's going to be difficult for some of our people. We've got some really hard heads out there, stiff-necked Israelites, who don't ever want to admit they're wrong or turn their cheek or forgive a brother or sister a trespass. We are easily butthurt and slow to forgive. We have to learn to undo all that. Work together. Learn all this stuff, line upon line, precept upon precept, and attack this thing as a team. But we need to get the message out very, very fast and with great strength that the root is where our attention needs to be applied right now. We're too late in this thing. We're running out of time very, very quickly. And our best chance of survival is to deal with this root of our problems. Because I'll guarantee you, if we deal with the root and we get rid of the root as Obadiah told us to do, all of these other branches will die and fall away. All of the racial, all of the affirmative action, all of that stuff will just go away because the root is what's feeding it. Make sense? Does to me. I hope it does to everybody else. And I pretty much covered everything I wanted to cover. Does anybody have anything they want to either ask or bring to the table for tonight? I missed some chats here. Hold on a minute. Charles said they're in agreement with striking the root. Ella, all these tranny generals should have their roots cut off. they are. Words are like feathers. Once they leave your mouth, they can never be put back in. Now, I like the analogy of the arrows, though. The reason I like the arrows, which is what the scripture talks about, is because once you let go of the bowstring and that arrow takes off, so the analogy, of course, is once the words have left your mouth, okay, just like that arrow, you can't retrieve it. And also, like words, when the arrow reaches its target, it can do great harm. Where a feather is not going to do that. But an arrow can cut deep. Very deep. That's why we are to guard what proceeds from the mouth carefully. Because they are like arrows. That's why I've always made the analogy of a filter. I learned as a very young man to develop a what I call my filter, that when thoughts form in my brain, before I allow them to make my tongue and lips move, I run them through a filter. And sometimes it takes a while, and sometimes it's very, very fast. But the filter will generally answer certain questions. One, is it true? Number two, what is this arrow going to do when it hits the person standing over here? Does it edify? Could it hurt? Is it damaging? All those things, that runs through the brain. And many times the answer comes back that you should keep your mouth shut. That's what the scripture says. A wise man says much with few words. It also says that a wise man can hold his tongue. Sometimes there's much wisdom in saying nothing rather than saying something and doing great harm. Let that rattle around in your noggin there for a while and see if it makes sense to you. Ralph says here, the agenda goes on while the right freaks out over the shill Tucker. Oh, Tucker Carlson. Yeah, well, Tucker's a Jew. Almost everybody at Fox is a Jew. Rupert Murdoch is a Jew. His family, of course, is all Jewish. I think just like CNN, the top layers of management at all of the broadcasting facilities, including Fox, are all Jews. So it's, again, Jews are playing us. They play us on the left, the right, the center, everywhere. Everything is a Jewish theatrics to drive the sheep where they want the sheep to go. Charles says, it is simple metaphysics. It's all spiritual. Well, that's true. And that's why spiritual people have discernment. These people that have no spiritual connection to the Father, they don't have the gift of discernment. I actually feel sorry for them. You know, the Father, through the Holy Spirit, has helped me through many, many things to decide what I should believe. Just like I said, when I was a young man, I learned through the Holy Spirit not to trust doctors just because they said something. I researched myself. When they prescribed the drug, I bought a book on drugs. There was no internet back then, or even computers, not for home use anyway. And so I bought books. I looked them up in catalogs or sent letters to different organizations. In fact, a lot of my identity material came from Aryan Nations, because they were one of the few groups that would send you copies of things like Mein Kampf. You couldn't find it at the local library. So when people told me about Mein Kampf and some of these other writings and stuff, I said, well, where the hell do you get them? And so I got the addresses and wrote to the different groups, and Aryan Nations was one of them. Scriptures for America was another one. And there were other groups, the Kingdom Identity in Harrison, Arkansas, and different groups like that. I kept their catalogs in a binder. And so when I wanted a book or I had some extra money, I'd go in and find it and write them a letter and send them a check and get the hard copy of the book. That's the way you did it back then. Let's see. It will take a Gideon type event to make the root go away after Babylon falls. Yeah, probably so. Let's see. Smile will make people wonder what you're up to. That's a good one. I like that one, yeah. That's right. Sometimes just biting your tongue and smiling will drive them crazy. Charles, I think you have your either asking a question or hand up.
Yeah, thanks. I wanted to just affirm I'm glad to catch the conference again. I'm sorry I was late. I miscalculated the time difference between East Coast and Central Time. But I wanted to mention, with our new Zoom conferencing technology, I'm able to record the videos of our conferences with our common law court on my home computer, and that allows me to post more quickly on YouTube and the other channels. And so I posted on YouTube the recording of our last conference, and that promptly got a strike. So I got booted off of YouTube for what we're doing in our conferences, but I've reposted in Rumble and BitChute and Odyssey and a few places like that, and I'll be sending out links to the recording so everybody can listen to it. I think that our last conference was really, really good, and I do hope that we can continue building on what we've been doing there.
All right. Sounds good. Yep. Every weapon we have, we need to fire it at the enemy right now. This is the time we can't hold back. I believe personally the enemy's on the ropes. That's why they're acting insane right now, okay? They're on the ropes. Everybody likes to think that nobody's waking up and things will never... No. People are waking up. People are making statements. There are signs of a rebellion, a righteous indignation going on. And the enemy is paranoid. You have to understand, these people are schizophrenic. They have mental illnesses. That's why psychiatry was invented, because Jews have mental illness. Even Sigmund Freud, who's the father of psychiatry, a Jew, said that he started psychiatry to help his fellow Jews. That's where psychiatry got started. Mm-hmm. And then it branched out just like everything else. White people start seeing Jews going to psychiatrists, and so they thought, well, maybe I should go. But psychiatry started out to help Jews with their mental problems and their emotional and schizophrenic problems. Okay, but one of their biggest problem is that they are extremely paranoid people, probably because they're on the wrong side of the fence. What's that?
They're the only one that gets Tay-Sachs disease, and
right.
That's an emotional illness.
Right.
I want to ask you, Dan, do you ever read The Way from Aryan Nations?
I believe I did, but it would be a long time ago when I first started reading the material. I don't recall much about it, but I probably did read it a long, long time ago.
But I have one more thing I want to say, and it's about these fellowships, and it's from Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. And I think that is what we do when we have these fellowships, correct?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's why in my lifetime, and again, I'm not saying everybody has to agree with me. This is just how I was both raised and what I became as a young man. I developed an aversion to people with huge egos, to people who are condescending, to people who are also judgmental, and to people who are easily butthurt. In my way of thinking, according to whatever I've learned through prayer and study, we are adults. And we can have a conversation about any subject on earth. There is no such thing as a forbidden topic. There is no such thing as it's set in stone and therefore no discussion can be had about it. That's not the way I look at it. If nothing else over the last 3 years should have taught people is how much of this stuff that's been going on people thought was set in stone, and now it's gone. How many people told me, oh, that will never happen in America? Oh, yeah? America, as we knew it, is gone already. So be careful with the mindset that you've already reached that higher level of ascension and knowledge to where you can't learn anything more. I don't ascribe to that. I'm learning every single day of my life. And some of the things that years ago I thought were pretty much set in stone, I found out years later that no, they're not. Maybe part of it was, but not all of it. That's why, to me, when the book of Thessalonians says to accept all things and keep that which is good, that is a biblical way of saying keep an open mind. Be willing to discuss the brother and sister anything. If you disagree, then okay, you walk away and agreed to disagree. That's fine. But you're still brother and sister. My own brother and sister blood family members, my dear sister's now gone the other side, but when we grew up, and even as young adults, some of the biggest fights I was ever in were with my family, my brother and my sister. I'm talking about knock down, drag out, screaming at each other fights. But the entire time of my life, not once did I ever doubt that my brother and sister loved me. Not once, ever. Not once did I ever think that my brother or sister wouldn't step in front of a gun to stop a bullet from reaching me. I knew they would do it. Even in the midst of arguing and fighting. Because we're headstrong, we're passionate, we're smart, and sometimes we get a little full of ourselves. And so when the two thoughts or the two paradigms clashed, it would get ugly very, very quickly. But the point is, we never allowed our disagreements to interfere with that principle of family. Never. No matter how much we disagreed. Never. Now, that being said, I'm not saying that if my sister started worshiping statues of Satan and doing child sacrifice that I would have accepted that. No, 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 no. We're talking about dogma. We're talking about, I'm trying to think of the right word here. In other words, to me, there are certain things, like I said, child sacrifice, pedophilia. I mean, obviously, no one is allowed to be doing those things. Those are obvious. I'm talking about things that are more in the area of your belief due to your studies. So if person A studied under Pete Peters and person B studied under Colonel Gale, they may have slightly different opinions about some of the gray areas. That's basically what I'm talking about, the gray areas here. The stuff that's black and white, I think pretty much everybody can agree on, but how we handle the gray areas is where we seem to have problems. Because some people like to think that their gray area is actually black and white, and it's not. Just like the Sabbath thing. I can't tell you how many times I've had to go into groups of people and break up fights where people were getting ready to punch each other either over whether Saturday or is hearings where that happened. Half the congregation was ready to jump across the aisle and start beating on the other half over what day is the Sabbath. And I would get in front of the crowd when it was my turn to speak, and I said, I witnessed all this, you folks, and I said, I got some bad news for you. You're all wrong. What? I said, you're all wrong. Our ancestors didn't have days of the week. So you're all wrong. The scriptures never sanctified a day of the week. They sanctified a day of the month, and it was a number. So it depended on when the Hebrew year started, which is determined by a celestial reading, either of the sun or the moon. So it could end up in the Julian calendar being on a Tuesday this year and a Wednesday next year. So you're all wrong. You're all Catholics. Week when our ancestors didn't worship the day of the week. You should have seen the looks I got. But nobody tried to punch me out. I think I got to some of them. I said, you need to go home and study it. I said, you need to know more about our ancient Hebrew ancestors. You need to know more about how they reckon time, because what the Romans call days of the week had nothing to do with our people in ancient times. So why are you hanging on to that? Why are you willing to fight each other over that? Difficult for me to wrap my head around that. Brothers and sisters, when the Jew has almost completed the fencing around us, the end of the age stuff going on, and we're going to fight over something like that. Or women going to fight because this guy's wife came and they thought she had a little too much cleavage showing on her dress. Are you shitting me? And I was there, so I know she was modestly dressed, but true, she was showing a little more at the top of her chest than some of the other ladies. But you're going to create a ruckus and a fight and cause division amongst us over something like that? Our people are amazing what they can come up with to fight about. It's astounding. I've often said, if you spend as much time and energy working to be in fellowship as you do to find reasons to put knives in each other's backs, we'd have fellowship. We would have family. We would get along with each other. Instead, we look for 1,000 reasons to hate, to condescend, to blame, defame, you name it. And all I can see is on the horizon, here comes this army of Edomites. And when they get done raping and pillaging and murdering, there won't be many of our people left. And the few that are left are going to wish they were dead. That's what I see on the horizon. So as I'm witnessing them coming down off that hill and getting ready to do to us what they got planned, it's very difficult for me to be understanding of some of these petty things that we fight and bitch about. Maybe it's just me. If I'm wrong, Father will take me to the woodshed. But somehow I don't think I am. It's time to put all that bullshit away. These are serious, serious times. So, all right, one last open forum call here. Let's see. Ella says, teach your children at home this fall and from on. Yeah, I got to agree. Get them out of the damn public schools. There's absolutely nothing of value in those places. Nothing at all. All right. I'm going to go ahead and mute everybody and just close this out here. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise and glory and honor as always. We thank you for this opportunity of fellowship. Now we just pray that the Holy Spirit had guidance over our talking here tonight. We pray that your truths and your wishes for our people go out from this meeting. We know done a lot of things wrong, Father. Our ancestors have, but so have we in our day and age. We have a lot to be ashamed of. We have a lot to fix. But with your help, we can fix it. We want to fix it. We have willpower to fix it. If you'll just open the door, give us the guidance and pour your Holy Spirit upon us, we'll be the warriors you want us to be. We'll be the witnesses that you want us to be. That we owe to you. You gave us life. You put us here with a mission, and we need to stay focused to that. And stop living in the state of fear. Stop believing that the enemy's already won this thing when you've already told us that you're in control. Your children are going to be victorious, and you will not allow your name and your honor to be served on this earth. So help us and guide us in all that we say and do to thy glory and for thy kingdom, and always, Father Yahweh, protect us from our enemies. In Yahweh's name we pray, hallelujah.